You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Friday. We like to say Friday gets accompanied by some applause. Hit it, man. Yeah. Yeah. I think that might have been the loudest explosion we have ever had. Yeah, well, welcome to it. Congratulations, you made it through the entire week. And, man, have we got a show laid on for you today. But I tell you what, Big Rig's on the board. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. You ready for this one?
Yeah, ready.
This one is like action-packed. This is going to be full up. We're going to be, like, moving at a rapid pace the entire time.
Okay.
Bam, bam, bam. All right. Well, listen, we do have a good one for you. 2:30, right after the monologue, we'll take a break shortly thereafter, 2:30-ish, U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling in, looking forward to getting her perspective on, you know, what went down yesterday. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit, but yeah, 2:30, Katie Britt calling in, 3:30, former U.S. Attorney Jay Towne going to call in and give us his perspective as a former U.S. Attorney slash prosecutor on the things that we're seeing right now out of this special counsel report regarding Joe Biden. Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, at 3:30 today. And then 4 o'clock today, you've heard her on the show several times. She hasn't been on in a couple of weeks, but we're going to have the UA sign girl, Hannah Stevens, giving us a view on the right side of sports. So 4 o'clock today, Hannah Stevens calling in. And then on top of all that, I've still got a triple dipper. So hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So, number one, I'm just calling it Who's in Charge? You know what that topic's going to be about. I'm sure it's been on every conservative news talk show all day long. But we're gonna give you some new perspective on it. Like, did you know this is not the first time Democrats have done this? What? Yes. Did you know, by the way, that what we're looking at now is anger by the Biden administration against their own Department of Justice? Wow. Anyway, we'll talk about all of it. Number one, triple dipper, who's in charge? Number two, if I can squeeze it in, and it may wait till Monday because it's a timely topic, but it doesn't have to go today. Big bad BSC bailout, didn't get to it yesterday. Birmingham Southern College has so hosed themselves on their own ability or inability to do accounting that they now want to be bailed out by the state taxpayers to the tune of $30 million. By the way, that's down from their original request. But should we be funding or bailing out a private institution that has a proven track record of poor accounting? Ugh. All right, the big bad BSC bailout, we'll talk about that as number two. And then number three, in conjunction with our conversation with Hannah Stevens, we're going to run the gamut. Everything from Super Bowl to Coach Saban's new job to what's going on with dudes trying to participate in chick sports. So that's right, the UA sign girl at 3 o'clock. We'll have sign girl on there talking about right sports. All right, let me jump into my monologue here, and I will just remind you guys, Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care is the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue. They are indeed a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of ground across the northern part of our state, from, you know, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, and then six locations around the Birmingham area. More on the way, I am told. Southern Immediate Care, all of them open 7 days a week. They'll see all ages. And y'all, they are the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue every single day. All right, let me just open by saying I don't usually do a monologue where I just talk about somebody, but I got to today. And by the way, my friends, I'm not an alarmist, all right? I try not to jump to conclusions. I prefer to have my opinions that I've also spent time on, even researched them. So what I'm about to be saying, you can take it with a grain of salt if you like, but it is my honest opinion. Joe Biden is unfit to hold the office of the presidency, and we need him out of there as soon as possible. Yes. And yes, I have felt that way for some time. Yes, he dodders around. He loses track of his words. He can't find his way off the stage. His policies are crushing the nation. But y'all, yesterday was the difference between a strong feeling becoming a hard-nosed fact. Yesterday, an independent counsel did the coup de grace on the Biden presidency. I really think, and I put it out on my social media this morning, that the events of yesterday may have been the unraveling of the Biden administration. But I'm not really sure if Joe Biden knows it. Now, I don't know how many of you ever seen the cult classic movie Escape from New York. Crazy movie. Crazy. In the future, crime is supposed to be so bad that Long Island was turned into a prison. The whole island. But Air Force One actually crashes inside the walls of Long Island, so Snake Plissken, played by Kurt Russell, is sent in to find him, right? At one point early in the movie, he thinks he's tracked down the president because of a tracking device that was on the president's wrist. But it turns out when he gets there, it's just an old crazy homeless guy who literally looks at him and says, "Sure, I'm the president. I knew I was the president when I put this on my arm." I mean, it was really kind of a pitiful scene. But the real concern in the movie was the fact that the president had key information that the world needed. Well, that's the way I feel like things are in the White House right now. The guy who has lost so many of his faculties is living the delusional belief that he's the president because he was told that he was. And it's turning into a pitiful scene. And yet the White House is filled with information that the world really needs. So in case you haven't already heard the details, a report was issued yesterday by special counsel Robert Hur. Hur was appointed by Merrick Garland, the Biden appointee, right? To conduct an independent investigation of Biden's mishandling of classified documents. The same issue that caused Trump to be prosecuted, by the way, after his Mar-a-Lago estate was raided by the FBI. The report that came out yesterday about Biden was a bombshell. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean it was a bombshell. It was the MOAB, the mother of all bombs. And the more people have had the opportunity to pore over its details, the worse it has gotten. You see, the report found that Biden had, in fact, willfully mishandled classified documents, but followed it by saying that charges would not be referred for prosecution. But then came the kicker, as the report went on to describe how Biden himself was interviewed and presented himself as, you ready for this, a, quote, sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. Wow. Let me read it to you again. President of the United States, Joe Biden, a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory. Does that sound like the person you need making the hard decisions every day? Well, for that reason, the special prosecutor went on to say, Biden would not really make a sound defendant for prosecution in the presence of a jury because they would be sympathetic to him. Basically, they're going to look at him and go, well, it's just like my pawpaw. I can't prosecute my pawpaw. Well, listen, he's the president of the United States. So what the report just basically told the world was that President Joe Biden, the same Joe Biden who has access to the nuclear codes and an overwhelming amount of authority by virtue of his position, is not fit to stand trial. But yet he is somehow fit to hold the office of the presidency. Let that sink in. Now, I don't like the Biden administration one bit, not at all. But somewhere along the way, I almost got to where I was feeling sorry for Joe. I mean, you can't tell me that the people around him don't know that he has trouble making it through the day. He has officially been on vacation for nearly one-third of his time in office. They very often call a lid on his day by early afternoon. He is too often shielded from the press. Earlier this week, he gave two separate speeches and said that he had recently had meetings with French President François Mitterrand and German Chancellor Helmut Kohl, both of whom have been dead for years. But it's not just the Republicans who see this. The world sees this. China, Iran, Russia, our allies, the whole world sees it. And this sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory creates instability merely by going to the microphone. I mean, think about it. If you were a foreign adversary of ours right now, a nation or a terrorist organization intent on doing harm to the U.S., would you feel like you have a better shot at getting away with something right now? Or would you feel like you want to wait till Trump takes office? Y'all, we are not in a good place right now. But then the situation got worse. His staff let him come to the podium well after his usual afternoon lid. In a defensive and sometimes combative rebuttal to the special prosecutor's report, Biden spoke for several minutes, and then he took several questions from a shouting press corps. You could tell the shouting was wearing him down. Questions from his usual allies at CNN and others centered on whether or not he would step down, whether he would drop out of the race for re-election, whether he had lost all of his faculties. It was awful. And while he managed to answer most of the questions, he also looked really tired. He sounded defeated, and he struggled at sometimes to get his words out. Well, there's an old axiom in politics that when you feel like you have to get out there and respond to what they're saying about you, then it means they've got you dancing to their tune and you no longer control the narrative. The Biden team, they have completely lost the narrative. And it's all because somebody else has been running the White House and pretending the president is okay. His wife, Jill Biden, she ought to be ashamed. What's interesting, though, is this is not the first time this has ever happened. I was reminded that there was another time in U.S. history when the First Lady propped up an incapable president. Democrat Woodrow Wilson was president when he won the election in 1912. Just a little over a century ago, in October 1919, President Wilson suffered a massive stroke. But his wife and his doctor decided not to tell anybody. At a time when the world was suffering the blows of the First World War and negotiations were underway for the Treaty of Versailles, conspiring with the president's doctor, the First Lady managed the affairs of state. But at some point, cracks in the scheme began to appear. Republicans in Congress began to get suspicious. Cabinet members grew tired of trying to cover for a president who never showed up at meetings. U.S. Senator Albert Fall, he began shouting on the Senate floor, one day that we have a petticoat government. Wilson is not acting. Mrs. Wilson is the president. Well, then came a crisis with Mexico. And the response from the Wilson administration came across as being somewhat disjointed and rather uncharacteristic. So when the cabinet members were questioned, they confessed that nobody had even spoken to the president in months. Months! It turned into a high-stakes game of chicken at that point, but it finally came to a head when senators insisted on coming to the White House and seeing the president firsthand. He was known to be weak, too weak to stand, paralyzed on one side. Apparently, he often slurred his words, struggled with his memory. Smithsonian Magazine describes the elaborate efforts made by the First Lady to make the feeble president seem alert and capable, but he finally had to see everyone while lying in his bed. But somehow he pulled it off. He got through the meeting. Everybody left, and the falsehood continued for another year. From October of 1919 to March of 1921, his wife and doctor pretended that he was okay, and he wasn't even in charge. There was no 25th Amendment back then. It was not ratified till 1967 to give the nation a specific means of transfer of power when a president dies or disabled. But we do now. But does anybody even have the brass to use it? I mean, what does it take? What is the standard for removing somebody from office? They crowed about doing it to Trump, but that was just because they didn't like him or trust him. Now we're faced with a daily reminder that the man holding the highest office in the land appears for all practical purposes to be propped up. Now, one day we're going to get all the facts. One day we will probably learn just how bad it was on the inside of the White House and how much cover-up there really was. And we'll also likely learn that unelected people made major decisions and then propped Joe up to pretend that he was still in charge. It's an awful situation. It is absolutely, unequivocally awful. And no matter what the White House tries to say, we have every right to be concerned. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, go figure. Exactly 100 years-ish ago, Democrats did the same thing with Woodrow Wilson, propping him up, pretending that the stroke hadn't incapacitated him. And y'all, I'm just telling you, this shines off the apple. You cannot say this is this old gaffe-prone Joe. It's not. He is not well, and our country's not well because of it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.